I've sensed this evening very similar atmosphere that we had in our church this morning, which is a real sense of peace and of rest, just so that we can enter into God's presence. And that lovely scripture we heard now about spring, which we believe, we're believing for, and the crocuses. You know, I was reading in the paper that they were saying the crocuses are coming out in Yorkshire. I mean, it's April. It's the middle of April. The crocuses are just coming out. We've got some that we planted in the autumn, and they're just peeping through in our churchyard. So we're hoping for great things. As it's a year of mission, I wanted to pick up on the theme of mission this evening. But I want to talk about grace for mission. I want to talk about grace for mission a little bit. And just give you some thoughts to hopefully just settle in our hearts that will give us some encouragement in our churches in the difficult area that God has called us to work, because it is a challenge. And you only have to just chat to one or two people and you see the amazing things that are happening in the Echo churches, the giving, the pouring out. And I believe that's one of the reasons why God calls us from time to time to rest in his presence and just to enjoy his wonderful provision for us. So I'd like us to read from John chapter 21 and really try, in a sense, being seasonal. This is a post-Easter scripture. John chapter 21. And just while you're finding that, I just want you to just to picture the scene towards the end of the passage that I'm going to read. A scene of the disciples sitting on the shore of Galilee in the early morning sun just coming up, resting after the provision of God has come. I'm really jumping to the end of the story. But I want you to get into that mode. Hard to imagine, I know, perhaps sitting here. But sitting by the shores of that lake with Jesus, enjoying our lovely breakfast of fish on the fire and fresh bread, just being together with him. And really, this passage is not a passage that is full of teaching. Jesus has done his teaching. Jesus has died on the cross. He's been raised from the dead. And here he is now with his disciples sharing a simple meal. He's done something amazing with them, but he's shared a simple meal with them. And they're just resting with him, just enjoying his presence. I just want to pray a moment that we will just be able to find rest in his presence. You know, it's hard sometimes to find rest. Lord, we just pray this evening that thank you for this lovely atmosphere that we've got here tonight, that we were able to just come in and worship you, just to sit at your feet and think about the wonderful things that you've done for us. And even now, as your word is being shared, Lord, I just pray that we would be as those disciples, sitting on that shore by that lake, soaking in the wonderful sense that you are risen from the dead, to know you, to sense that you are with us. There's nothing more precious than that, apart from perhaps sharing that, Lord, with others. But at this point in time, let us just sense your presence, Father. So let's read from John chapter 21. After these things, Jesus manifested himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and he manifested himself in this way. Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We will also come with you." They went out, got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach. Yet the disciples did not know it was Jesus. So Jesus said to them, "Children, you don't have any fish, do you?" They answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you will find a catch." So they cast, and then they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." So when Simon Peter heard it was the Lord, he put his outer garment on, for he was stripped for work, threw himself into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards away, dragging a net full of fish. So when they got out on the land, they saw a charcoal fire already laid and fish placed on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you've now caught." Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land, full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples ventured to question him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. But Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and the fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus was manifested to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. I just want to share briefly with you four principles of grace for mission. Four principles of grace for mission. Or four words, really, rather than principles. The first one is believe. The second one is receive. And the third one is to hold, to be able to hold the blessing. And fourthly, to release the blessing. Believe, receive, hold, and release. Just four simple words, but I believe they're words that are full of grace, if we can just receive them. And we have this scene here of Jesus, who is with his disciples. They have fished all night, they've caught nothing. Now, this is the second time such a story has been related, right at the beginning of the disciples knowing Jesus, when they were first called by the Sea of Galilee. Again, we read in Luke's Gospel that they were also called to go out and catch a great haul of fish. What happens here is that there's two things happening. Firstly, to believe. Now, Jesus said this. He said this in John chapter 6, because this, again, you know, when they were eating that, when they were eating the fish and they were taking the bread, they might have thought of the occasion when there was another large amount of fish. So what I think Jesus was doing here was he was taking them back at this wonderful breakfast scene to some of the things that had happened in his life and ministry. And perhaps they might have thought about that wonderful time where the bread and the fish were multiplied, you know, when the little boy brought them and they were multiplied and he was able to share a blessing that was totally out of all proportion to what was given. This is what Jesus said at that time, just after that had been given. He said, "Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, for on him the Father has set his seal." Therefore they said to him, "What shall we do that we may do the works of God?" Jesus said to them, "This is the work of God, that you may believe in whom he has sent." These guys had spent all night fishing. They knew what to do. They were used to it. They'd been through a really traumatic time with Jesus. I mean, they were obviously overjoyed that he'd been risen from the dead, but they'd seen the agony on the cross. They'd run away from it. They couldn't stand it. And even Peter, you know, first out of the boat again, you know, that's the character of Peter. He's going to be the first there. But even Peter, with his desire to get close to Jesus, to be with him right to the end, wasn't able to do it. He denied him three times. Almost the one who wanted to be the closest, in the end, denied him the most. And so sometimes the harder we try to work and the more we want to do the right thing, sometimes we end up blowing it. And do you know, I think that God looks on our hearts and he looks at the hard work and he doesn't dismiss it. He doesn't say it's all about effort, but he sees what's going on in our hearts and he acknowledges that. And I don't believe that he's giving that lesson of the fish to the disciples because they've been slaving for nothing, but he sees their hearts. And what we see here is that he's saying, look, you want to know what real work is? It's not working all night. It's not getting up ultra early and going to bed really late. It's believing on me. And it's like the first principle that he's trying to give of mission here is just to believe in him. It's just to take him at his word. It's just to believe in him. This is the work of God. You've seen the loaves and the fish. You were fed through that. Now, this is the work. It's about believing. You just give what you have, and I will take it, and I will multiply it. I'm going to read you another scripture, one which I love too, from Psalm 127, verses 1 and 2. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labour in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, in fact, I know you know, I can hear you sort of saying it off by heart. The watchman keeps awake in vain. It's vain for you to rise up early, retire late, to eat the bread of painful labours, for he gives to his beloved even in his sleep. Now, this is the way my translation I've got here translated, or it could be he gives to his beloved sleep. But I just love this one. This is just one I picked up recently, that even in our sleep, God can give to us. When we are worn out, when we're tired, when we've just about had it, he can give to us. He can give to you, and he can give to me as we're sleeping, as we're resting in him. And the two things, believing and receiving, I think go together really nicely. You know, we believe and then we receive. It's nice to receive the reward for our labours because it makes us feel good. I've done a good day's work. I've done this. I've done that. And it's a natural human thing. So what God has to do with us is take us into the supernatural. This is not natural for us. We naturally understand what it is to work, and we naturally what it is to understand to receive the benefits of work. Most of us have grown up in this way. You know, we go to work to earn the bread, to feed our families, and it's tough. You know, we've all known times when it's difficult. It's been tough these last few years. But what Jesus is doing and wants to do with us in our year of mission is to say, look, I want to bring another principle to you because I see your work. I see how hard you work. I see what you've done. I see you fished all night. And some of you have fished many, many nights. And in some ways you're saying, but Lord, we've not caught very much. But he does not despise that. He doesn't say, well, it's because you haven't done this or you haven't done that or you haven't thought this. It's nothing to do with that. It's to do with this is our principle. This is the way we do things. You know, we can get science now, can't we? You know, if we were fishing in Galilee today, we'd probably have sonar and there would be high-tech boats and all the rest of it. But even then, we reach the end of our limitation. Even in our sophisticated society, in 2008, the banks collapsed. Now, how can that happen with all that we know? But they virtually collapsed. And man comes to the end of his ability at times. And God recognizes that. And then he begins to work. He says, right now, start to believe. Just start to believe. It's a choice that you make. It's nothing to do whether you've caught fish or haven't caught fish. But sometimes it's easier if you haven't. Because Jesus then can come in, and this is what happens. He steps in. He steps in. And it's interesting to me, as we move on to the next two words that I want to bring you, the difference between the first time that Jesus told his disciples to fish in his way rather than their way. There's differences, and I think they're quite interesting. The first one's described in Luke chapter 5, where Jesus is calling his disciples for the first time. I'm not going to go through that passage, but I'm going to bring out some differences between the two. Luke 5 verses 1 to 11 describes the first calling of the disciples, and Jesus tells them, you remember, to go deeper. They haven't caught anything all night at that time, and he tells them to go into deeper water. And as they go into deeper water, he tells them to cast the net again, and they catch an amazing haul of fish, just like they have at this time. The first time they're told to go deeper. The first time is the first time they're called to be fishers of men. And I believe I'm speaking to many people that were called some time ago to be fishers of men. Most of you, if not all here, have been called to be fishers of men. You can probably remember the time when Jesus called you to be one of his disciples. And to be a fisher of men. And you may remember the time, you may remember the occasion, and you may be able to tell me, it'd be wonderful if you could, some of the amazing ways in which God met you at that time. I mean, I can go back years, and I can think about the ways in which Jesus came in miraculously and was able to meet my need and enable me to do things I didn't think I was able to do. I mean, one thing, for example, was that until the time that God filled me with his spirit, I would never stand up and speak in public, which is just one of the things I never did. We'd always be the boy at the back of the class at school, would always keep my mouth shut. But I knew it was a gift that God was giving me. That was just something that I knew was from him. It wasn't from me. And ever since that time, you just know it's wonderful when you think, oh, this isn't work, you know, because God's word comes to me and I just love it and it just feeds me. And you could probably think of different things for yourself. But this occasion was slightly different. They didn't have to go deeper in that sense because they'd been with Jesus and they spent time with Jesus. The fish were already there. They just had to open their eyes and they fished on the other side, fished on the right-hand side, and they cast the net on the other side. The first time, there were so many fish that the boats began to sink and the nets began to break. But this time, the nets held the fish. And really, that's another one of the words I want to bring to you about mission is that we need to be able to hold the blessing that God gives us. Do you know, it's amazing, but many people and many believers can't receive a blessing from God. And one of the issues out there is not that people don't believe in God or don't need a Savior or even know they need a Savior, but they don't believe they deserve a Savior. And if they don't, it's often because we don't. You know, when we did a little survey that said, what are the issues that prevent us from getting out there more effectively with the gospel? We all said, almost everybody, because we had little tables like this when we did a little workshop, they're in us. The barriers are in us. They're not in our community. We couldn't think of issues that where people would turn us away. But the barriers are within us. I believe that God wants to give us such a haul of fish, such a blessing for us, because they have far more than they needed for breakfast. Okay, I'm sure they were going to sell the fish and it was going to keep them going for a while. But this was just for breakfast. And they already had the fire and they already had the fish on the fire. And then they had 153 more and they weren't tiddlers. These were proper fish. You know, these were proper ones, and there they were having breakfast with all this fish around them. There was far more than they needed. Well, we'll come on to that, why they needed more. But I want you to know that God wants to bless you. Jesus wants to bless you even tonight. Whether you deserve it or not, whether you've been fishing all night or not, whether you've been fishing all your life or not, Jesus wants to pour out his blessing. So much so that you are able to hold it. And your nets don't break, and you don't lose it. Are we ready for a blessing? Are you ready to receive a blessing just because he loves you? Just because it's Jesus? Just because he wants to be good to you? Just because he loves you? Just because I don't know? That's the kind of God that we have. I don't know about you, but when I do come into his presence, I very rarely feel I'm being told off. I tell myself often, you know, I do things and those things. But we have such a God of grace, you know, that his love seems to be far stronger than his chastisement. But even in the love, you know, it shows things up. Because the first time, when they had a great haul of fish, Peter said, "Go away from me, Lord. Go away from me, I'm a sinful man." He couldn't contain the blessing. He couldn't receive it. He felt so unworthy. And so in those early days, Peter had to learn to come into the presence of God. He said, I can't take it. I'm not worthy of this. This isn't right. But this time he ran to Jesus. He had breakfast with Jesus. There was something different about Peter. And actually, Peter had blown it. Those early days, he was still conscious of his sinful ways, I'm sure of that, but he was even more conscious of the grace of God. This final time, after these words are spoken, and I'm not going to read them at the moment, Peter specifically receives a call to feed the sheep that he was going to be given. Little did he know, perhaps, that on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit was poured out, that thousands were going to be coming into the church. It wasn't just going to be one sheep. It was going to be flocks and flocks of sheep. Peter needed to have the ability to hold the blessing. He needed to know when to release the blessing. You see, the way that when God blesses us, he always gives us more than we need. Jesus always gives us more grace than we need. You know, we say his grace is sufficient, but actually I think it's more than sufficient. Now, Peter was told the first time to follow him, the second time he's told to feed the sheep. So the focus is on following Jesus, being with him all the time. The other focus is that Jesus is still with him, but he's going to feed the sheep. There's something to feed them. I think it's wonderful that tomorrow morning people are going to come in here and they're going to have coffee and bacon. People are going to be fed here physically tomorrow. Homeless are being looked after in this place. It's wonderful things that are going on because you're able to hold a blessing and then release a blessing here, which I think is amazing. But I want to kind of draw it to a conclusion just to remind us of these words, that this is Jesus in his resurrection body. Jesus has suffered on the cross. And this is the Jesus we know. We didn't know Jesus before he died on the cross. We didn't know this Jesus apart from what we read, but we know the risen Jesus. And we encounter Jesus in the same way those disciples did. So in a sense, we're like one of those sheep that Peter was asked to feed. We're one of those sheep that Peter was asked to feed. And do you know the basis that Peter was asked to? The basis was, do you love me? Do you love me? It's not on the basis of, you know, how much bread can we get in, you know, we better go down. They've run out of the supermarket. That's often the way we think. But as I said at the beginning, God wants to take us into another dimension and say, the measure in which you're able to feed people is the measure of which you love me. It's not the measure of your ability. It's not the measure of your stamina. It's not the measure of your health even. It's the measure of your love for me. It's because you love me that you're able to feed. We can't disconnect the two, brothers and sisters. We can't disconnect loving Jesus and worshiping him from mission. The two are so connected. We can't, I mean, yes, if we were very, very wealthy and we brought in the best missioners around and all the rest, we might be able to seem to do something, but it's not what God wants for us. I believe that we're called to be worshiping churches, lovers of Jesus. Those who know him, those who have breakfast with him, those who are prepared to spend time on the lake. I'm preaching to myself here, but prepared to spend time early morning sitting on the shores of Galilee, having breakfast with Jesus, absorbing his resurrection life, receiving his provision, beginning to get a bigger vision of how he provides for us. But as I say, I want to just finish with just that thought of him giving even in our sleep. And we're going to pray for people now, Mike. Yeah, we want to pray for you tonight. We want to minister to those areas where you feel that God, you need to know him more. You need a blessing, because I just believe this is a house of, not because I'm speaking particularly, there's something prepared already here. This is a house where people are fed. This is a house where people are cared for. It's already prepared. A bit like the fire on the shore was already prepared before the fish. Jesus was waiting for them. I believe that Jesus is waiting for us. He's already prepared. But one thing I want to just focus on is sleep. You know that He gives sleep. He gives to us in our sleep. Might be a strange thing to say, but I would just like to pray that the people in our churches in Love CF3 have wonderful sleep. You know, that in our night times we learn to sleep in the presence of God. Sleep the sleep of those who are loved. I give my beloved sleep. I give to my beloved in their sleep. So Mike, I don't know how we're going to do this, but that's the one thing I would like to pray for first. We do that first, and then we'll sort of perhaps call people forward if they'd like some prayer, or we can come to you, whatever. Oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you cause us and you call us to be lovers first before you call us to do anything else. And some of us have got it the wrong way around. We feel you've called us to be workers first. And then if there's time at the end of the day, then we'll worship you. But you've said, I want to teach you a new way. I want to teach you the way of grace. I want to teach you that I give blessing that's out of proportion to how much you work or deserve. And Lord, I just pray now, Lord, for each. There's some here who don't sleep very well because there's a lot on their minds. Oh, Lord, I pray that that will change. Lord, I pray that in our sleep you will begin to give us dreams. Dreams and visions of what you're doing. I pray, Lord, that you will protect each person here as they sleep. I pray that as they lay down even tonight, they will know they will have angels surrounding them. Because there's precious people here, precious ones that need to be able to hold a blessing so they can release a blessing. So Lord, I just speak peace, Lord. I just speak peace over this church, over the Echo churches, Lord, over those who carry responsibility, those who desire to bless others. I just pray for provision, even while we sleep, even when we're not working, no matter what's going on in our lives. I just encourage you to just release the burden to Jesus now. Just release the burden to him.
Thank you, Lord.